My name is LaShonda Smith, and I am the host for the First Year Business Podcast. I created this podcast so it can be used as a tool to help guide you through your first year in business. I will talk about the struggles, the tips, the do's, the don'ts, the highs, and the lows. You name it. So, grab a glass of wine, get relaxed, maybe get a pen and paper so you can take notes, and I hope you enjoy today's show. Welcome back to the First Year Business Podcast. Of course, I'm your host, LaShonda Smith, and this is episode 20. So today I'm going to be going over the 5 mistakes that most new coaches make without even realizing it, okay? So there are so many mistakes that you can easily find yourself making without even realizing it. And the sooner that you can know about these mistakes, the sooner you can stop making them and adjust your business. So because you're here, because you're listening to this, I know you're probably curious, you're probably starting your new business and you want to make sure you are doing this the right way. Okay. You're like, look, something doesn't feel right. I feel like I can like fine tune some of the things that I'm doing. And so you're probably curious and curiosity kills the cat. So let's hop right on in so I can help you stop making these mistakes. This is the one that I hear the most often when I'm talking to my new clients. And the first mistake is you're not charging enough. Okay, you're not charging enough. Let's just go ahead and rip that Band-Aid off right now. You're going to have to start charging more, okay? You're not charging enough because you're lowballing yourself and you're probably dealing with imposter syndrome. I actually just did an episode on this a couple of days ago. Well, it's probably been posted maybe like a week ago now, but it's episode 18, I want to say, how to beat imposter syndrome. So if you're struggling with imposter syndrome, after you finish listening to this, I highly recommend you hop over there and check out that episode because that's going to get you together with that, okay? But you're probably not charging enough because you're dealing with imposter syndrome. You're probably not charging enough, which is causing you not to be able to profit or run your business. So you're coming out of pocket for a lot of the expenses when it comes to running your business because you're not implementing those costs into what you're charging for your coaching, okay? Maybe you're not charging enough because you don't know what to charge. You're like, girl, all I know is I like working with people. I want to help people, you know, solve this problem. And I love helping people. And I just don't know what to charge for what it is that I'm offering. So that's causing you not to charge enough. Or one of the other most common reasons is because you're charging by the hour and not charging by result or the return of investment. So you're charging by the hour because you're used to working a 9-to-5. You're used to getting paid an hourly rate or hourly wage. And you're like, oh, well, if I was making $20 an hour, for example, I don't know, like if I was making $20 an hour working here, then if I charge $100 an hour, then I'm winning. Like I'm doing the thing. And even I fell into this trap a long time ago with charging by the hour. But when you're in the coaching space, you have to transition your thought process from charging by the hour into charging by the result that you're giving your client and charging by the return of investment, right? Doesn't matter how many hours that they get with you, because the longer that you coach, the less live time that they will need with you. So you don't want to charge by the hour, because something that used to might have taken maybe 5 hours for you to coach them on, or maybe 10 hours for you to coach them on, you've now perfected the process. And so now they only really need 3 live hours with you, but the price doesn't go down as a result. The price actually goes up because you've officially perfected the process. And just because they're getting less time with you doesn't mean that you need to charge less, right? You actually need to charge more. So getting out of that thought process of needing to charge by the hour and not by result. So that's the first mistake. The second mistake is you're coaching for free. Why are you coaching for free, girl? What, like what's making you want to coach for free? Okay, we have to stop running our coaching business like a charity. This is not a charity. Having a coach is a luxury. It's not a necessity. It's not something that people, that all people are going to be able to experience, at least at different levels or different stages of their life. And that's okay, right? But you're not a charity. And so stop feeling bad for charging the price. The price is the price. I don't care if it's your cousin Pookie. I don't care if it's your friend Trina, like whoever. You need to stop not charging. You need to stop offering your coaching for free. A lot of the times people don't value free. So you're probably not getting the results from your clients like you want because they're not showing up consistently. They're not doing the work. They're not putting in the effort that's required for them to get that result. And so it's discouraging you as a coach because you're like, I don't know how to fix this problem, when in our reality, the problem is that you're charging nothing. You're not charging anything. You're biting the bullet on the cost that it is that is required for you to run your coaching business. And then you're giving your coaching out at a low to no cost. So we have to stop doing that. If you are, for some reason, going to coach somebody for free, best believe it better be mutually beneficial for both parties. Right. So there are small instances where you can coach someone for free. Right. And they really do put in the work. They really do value your information and stuff like that. You have to make that decision for yourself. You have to make that judgment call for yourself. But it better be beneficial for the both of you. Right. So hopefully you're getting some testimonials. Maybe you're practicing your program. And so you're getting out the kinks or something like that. Like, it needs to have something in it for you as well. And you not just spitting these gems to this person just to help them out, because like I said, going back to the beginning, you're not a charity. Okay, so we're making all strategic moves for a reason, right? So moving on to mistake number three, you're not automating from the beginning. A lot of the times people start implementing automation into their business when they are in the weeds, when they are, you know, there's so many things going on in their business that now they either have to hire someone to help them automate it, or they're normally like really overwhelmed and not able to keep up with all of the things that they're trying to juggle, right? It's better if you automate it from the beginning, because you have more time to put in the automated processes, right? Because you don't have a lot of coaching clients. So it's nice to go ahead and start it at the beginning. But when you don't automate from the beginning, you're not preparing your business for growth. Right now, you may only have one to two clients on your calendar per month or something like that. And what will happen if you go and do a speaking engagement next month and now you've booked 5 clients or 10 clients in addition to the clients you already have? Would you be prepared for that? Even just doing the onboarding and offboarding process would be like chaotic, because you're switching, you're going from having 2 people to having 10 people onboarding at the same time. So you need to prepare your business for that type of growth, because if you don't, you're going to be in the weeds. You're going to be like, hold up now. You know, I can't make this work. And so we don't want to put ourselves in that position. Another thing is, if you're not automating your business from the beginning, you're probably sending manual emails and follow-ups. So you're probably sending emails to like your follow-up prospects, or even to your clients at the end of their sessions. Like if you send an email with their homework at the end of every session, you're probably manually doing that, right? You do realize that can be automated. You can have it at the end of their session. They automatically get a recap email at the end of their session. And you've already put that into place so that you don't have to do that and stop what you're doing, right? To manually send out those emails. Also with follow-ups, you can have a follow-up automatically go out to people that you've taken discovery calls for that maybe you didn't hear anything from them. And so you have a follow-up email automatically going out to them maybe 4 days later or maybe 48 hours later, just to touch bases and see like, hey, you know, we talked on the phone a couple days ago, like I'm just getting an update. You know, like you can automate those things, right? And instead of constantly having to send out brand new emails, I use a new platform that I've just discovered called HoneyBook. It might not be new. It's new to me because I ain't know about it. But I use a platform called HoneyBook, and it allows you to create email templates, for example, where you can pre-write out your email, right? And then you can have it where it inserts their name. So whichever the person is, it has a place where it'll put their name in there based on the information you put in about them. And then it'll send out the template. So you don't have to keep retyping out new emails saying the same thing. You write it once and then it sends out to, you know, your follow-up process or your prospects as the follow-up process, if that makes sense. Okay. Another thing that you're probably not automating right now is your booking process. You're probably manually booking people. You're manually sending out proposals or the contract or whatever that process is. So maybe they do a discovery call and now you have to create the invoice. Now you have to customize the contract. If you even have a contract, I'm hoping that you have a contract, but that's another conversation for another day. But are you manually doing your booking process? Could you manually book 10 to 20 clients? Like when you start going into the group coaching realm, like can you imagine having 50 group coaching clients and you have to manually book every single last one of them? Ideally, you want that part to be you want that part to be automated. So that way, the moment they pay, they get this. The moment they do this step, they get that. And it's automated. You don't even have to touch it. Once they're in that, what do you call it? I'm going to call it a queue because I don't know if it's a specific term for that. But once they're in there in your booking queue already has an automated process that they go through that you don't even have to touch, right? And that's how you want it to be. So I have a small list. I kind of hit on all of these things already, but I have a small list of things that you should start automating while you're in the beginning stages of your business, okay? The first thing is your inquiry process. The moment someone hits your inquiry queue, there should be automation provided with that. So if they decide to say yes to on their discovery call, there should be an automated process that goes behind that. If they decide to say no, there should be an automated process that goes by, like, based on what their answer is on that discovery call. Another thing you should automate is your booking process. You want to have an automated booking process so that you're not manually having to send out these emails and send out these different steps, right? They'll even send them reminders to do something. Like if you send out a contract and they haven't like signed the contract in a couple days, you can have an automated reminder go out to them like, hey, we still waiting on that contract. You know what I'm saying? Like, and you don't have to do anything. All you have to do is run the other areas of your business because that part is already taken care of. The onboarding and offboarding of clients. This should definitely be automated because when you book someone, you want to start with that client experience. And so whether you're going to be sending them an onboarding email or maybe you're going to be sending them an onboarding video that's going to kind of prep them for their session and help them know what to look forward to. If you're going to be using different softwares or using things like Voxer, you can go ahead and create videos that you can send to them so that they can know how to use the software, so that they can know what they need to download, how they need to prepare for their first session. All of that could be automated, right? Also, another thing that you need to automate in your business is client follow-up. So after your sessions, if you know that there's certain homework that goes out after a session, you need to have that automated. So after they do their session, you can have it automatically send out to them and any kind of emails that you need, you know, during the duration of the program. And then also, this is a really big one. You need to automate the session and call scheduling. So this is one of the things that I feel is pretty basic and pretty standard in the coaching industry. If someone is interested in booking a discovery call, you should not be inboxing or emailing them back and forth to find out what their available dates are, or them inboxing you or emailing you what your available dates are. You need to be able to have a link that they can click on and they can get on your calendar. Same thing with your clients. They need to have a link that they can click on to either get on your calendar, cancel or reschedule sessions, whatever it is that includes them getting on your calendar to do a live session with you. All of that should be automated. It should automatically be something where your availability is already curated and all they have to do is pick the date and time based on what you have available. Okay. So those are the things that you should have automated. Now we're going to move on to step 4. Ooh, I did this one.
in my first stages of coaching, when I did coaching back in, I want to say 2017 or 2018, I definitely did this. And when I started coaching again this year, I promised myself I'm not going to do this again. Okay, because I did not have a great experience. The mistake four is doing client-led coaching. You may not even realize that you're doing client-led coaching. So basically what client-led coaching is everybody that comes into your program, and you probably, if you're doing client-led coaching, you probably don't even have a program. You probably just have coaching services, right? Where they're booking you for a certain amount of hours or something like that. Client-led coaching is when everything is customized to the client. So when, from the first time that they meet with you, for one, you probably don't have a qualifying process, right? You probably don't have any qualifiers for who you're working with. You're just working with anyone that's paying you. And that's what I was doing. Okay. But not only do you have that issue going on, you're customizing every single session to that person and what they have going on. You can't do this. Oh my God, you can't do this. For one, it's going to cause your coaching to be all over the place. It's all over the place because you're coming up with it on the fly. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're coming up with it on the fly and you are learning, like, you are customizing every element, right? You're probably doing a ton of research. I know when I was doing this, I was doing a ton of research because I was doing branding. And so I was learning about everybody's brand or what type of industry they were in and doing my own research so that I could know how to help them in their specific industry. And it was so chaotic. Like, I did not enjoy that experience. Doing client-led coaching also causes you not to be prepared or coaching on the fly, like I said, because you don't have a standard blueprint or a standard framework that you're going off of. You're creating the framework as you're going. And then the worst thing is, you, because you don't have a repeatable structure, you have to start back at square one with the next person because they have their own things going on. Like, they're not going to be the same type of client because you probably don't have a qualifying process. And then because you don't have a qualifying process, you're customizing each package or each coaching service to the client. And because each person is different, there's really no structure that you can use to repeat and guarantee the same results, right? The next thing is, like I said, no repeatable structure. You essentially want to create the structure first and then send your clients through that structure, which is why you want to qualify your clients, because not everyone is going to benefit from that structure that you have created. But the benefit of having a structure is that you have a higher chance of guaranteeing that result because you have qualified your client. You know that that particular client is going to benefit from that structure. And now you're able to perfect the structure and fine tune different areas to make it even smoother and even better for your future clients. This also causes you to give customer results that's also not repeatable. So if you don't have a structure that's repeatable, your results are also not going to be repeatable because everybody's different. Everybody's coming to you with a different problem and you're solving different problems, right? And then you're customizing your coaching to solve these different problems. And the end result is that the client is probably going to have a bad experience. Right? Because, I mean, what client is going to have a good experience if your coaching is all over the place? Most of the time, if you're not prepared and you're coaching on the fly, they probably don't know that, but they know that because it's almost like if they've never hired a coach before, they probably wouldn't know the difference. But if they have hired coaches before, they'll know, like, if you all over the place and you coaching on the fly because you don't have any structure, you don't have any workbooks, you don't have any trainings, you don't have anything put together where you could tell you've done this before. And then also your results for that client is probably going to be subpar because you haven't had the chance to perfect it because it's customized. Right? So you kind of coaching on the fly. And so your results are being on the fly. And don't nobody want no on the fly results. Okay. Unless these results are like bomb. Right. But most of the time, that's not the case. So that's the fourth mistake, client led coaching. And then the fifth mistake is having too many offers. You have too many offers. You're trying to sell everything in the kitchen sink and you need to narrow it down. You have to narrow it down. So if you're having too many offers, 9 times out of 10, you're probably confusing your prospects. They don't know which thing to choose, which is affecting your closing rate because you're giving them too many options, right? If you have 3-4 coaching programs and you're on this discovery call and you're like, well, you know, it sounds like you would be a good fit for this one, but then you also be a good fit for this coaching program, or you can do a 4-hour power session with me and benefit from that. Or, you know, if you just want to do like a VIP day, they're like, I don't know what I want to do. Like, you're supposed to help me choose what I'm supposed to do. And also with it affecting your closing rate by giving them too many choices on the back end, you're also stretching yourself too thin. So if you have all these different coaching programs and coaching options, 9 times out of 10, you have not perfected any of these offers because you're offering so much, right? Now, don't get me wrong. Too many offers for people look different for everybody. I normally recommend if you're a new coach to start off with no more than 3 offers. Really, if you can start off with 1, that's golden. But if you are going to be doing 3, I went past 3 at the beginning because you don't want to stretch yourself too thin. You need to work on perfecting these offers. And then after you reach certain milestones, I'm not saying that you can't add stuff on, but I would still stick with those 3 as your core, right? Because you don't want to add too many things on where you're stretching yourself too thin. You want to be known for something. You don't want to be known for everything. Because 9 times out of 10, if you're known for everything, you probably don't do everything too well. So it's better to narrow it down and get known for one thing and maybe have different ways that you can help people with that one thing. And then as your business is growing, maybe add 2 things and then add 3 things. Okay. But that's what I feel like the most, like the major mistakes that I see people making in their coaching business. So I'm going to do a quick recap real quick. So the different mistakes, we have 5. The first mistake is not charging enough. You need to charge more. That's the very first mistake. You're not charging enough. The second mistake is you're coaching for free. We are not a charity. We need to stop coaching for free unless it is mutually beneficial for both parties. Mistake 3 is you're not automating from the beginning. You need to put in your automation processes now before your business starts to grow, or you're not going to be preparing your business for growth. The mistake 4 is you're doing client-led coaching, which is leading to a bad client experience and causing you to have your coaching all over the place. And then mistake number 5 is having too many offers. We need to narrow it down to 1 to 3 offers in our coaching business, okay? So hopefully this was helpful for you guys. Please, if you really like help with this, then I'm going to be launching a free training really, really soon. It's going to be coming up. I don't have the exact date, but it should be up in November. I'm not really sure when this episode is going to be live on my podcast platform, but if my training is live at that point, I will make sure to put it in the show notes. I'll put it in the show notes so that way you can get access to it and sign up for it, because I'm going to be doing a free training helping new coaches with their business. But until next time, thank you guys so much for listening to the First Year Business Podcast, and we'll talk again soon.